January 4, 1927. How each new act of divine will carries a new divine life. How one who wants to hear the truth, but does not want to execute it remains burned. Hardship of the divine will in the souls. My poor heart was now moaning, now agonizing because of the pain of the privation of my dear and beloved Jesus. Hours seemed to be centuries, and nights interminable without him. Sleep runs away from my eyes. Could I at least sleep, my intense sorrow would fall asleep. Maybe this would bring me a little relief. But, no. Instead of sleeping, I become all eyes, and open eyes, not closed. Eyes my thoughts, which want to penetrate to see where is the one whom I look for and I do not find. Eyes my hearing, to hear, who knows, the light treading of his steps, the sweet and gentle echo of his voice. My eyes look, who knows whether they may see at least the flash of his fleeting coming. Oh, how his privation costs me. Oh, how I long for his return. Now, while I was amid yearnings for him, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and made himself seen inside of me, sitting at a little table of light, all occupied and intent on looking at the whole order of what he had manifested about his most holy will, whether everything was written, whether anything was missing, and the point he had to reach in order to complete everything that regards his most holy will. Everything which regarded his volition, the words, the knowledges, assumed the image of a ray of light in the hand of Jesus, which he ordered on that desk of light. And he was so engrossed and occupied that, as much as I spoke and called him, he would not pay attention to me. So I kept silent, contenting myself with being near him and with looking at him. Then, after a long silence, he said to me, "My daughter, when it comes to things which regard my will, heaven and earth remain silent and reverent, to be spectators of a new act of this supreme will. Every new act of it brings to all one more divine life, one strength, one happiness, one enrapturing beauty. Therefore, the operating divine will that releases an act from itself, is the greatest thing which can exist in heaven and on earth. New heavens, more beautiful suns, can come out of one more act of my will. Therefore, when it comes to it, you and I must put everything aside and occupy ourselves only with the eternal fiat. This is not about reordering a human will in you, or just any virtue, but it is about reordering a divine and operating will. Therefore, it takes very much, and this is why, being occupied with things which regard me more and which will bring the great good of a new act of this supreme will, I do not pay attention to your calls, because when it comes to doing the most, the minor things are put aside. After this, I was following my passionate Jesus in the Passion, and as I arrived at the point when Herod stormed him with questions and he remained silent, I thought to myself, if Jesus had spoken, maybe he would have converted. And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, Herod did not question me in order to know the truth, but out of curiosity and to make a fool of me. And if I had answered, I would have made a fool of him, because when the will to know the truth and to execute it is missing, the humor in order to receive the heat which the light of my truths brings with itself, is missing in the soul. Not finding the humidity in order to make the truths germinate and fecundate, this heat burns even more, and makes the good it can produce wither. It happens as to the sun, when it does not find humidity on the plants, its heat serves to wither and burn away the life of the plants. But if it finds humidity, it makes prodigies. So, the truth is beautiful, it is lovable, it is the reviver and the fecundator of souls. With its light and heat it forms prodigies of growth, of graces and of sanctity, but for those who love to know it in order to execute it. On the other hand, with those who do not love to execute it, the truth mocks them, rather than being mocked. In addition to this, while I was writing, I felt such exhaustion of strength, that I did it with hardship, nor did I feel I was being fed the words by Jesus to facilitate me, or the fullness of the mental light that forms in my mind like a sea, such that I have to content myself with taking a few drops of light to write them on paper. Otherwise, if I wanted to put everything, I would act like a person who goes into the sea and would want to hold all the water of the sea in his hand. As much as it takes, all of it escapes. But if he takes a few drops, he can manage to carry them with himself. So, everything was hardship in me, in the body, in the soul, in everything. Feeling so bad, I thought to myself, maybe it no longer is will of God that I write, otherwise he would have helped me like the other times. Instead, the struggle, the effort I have to make is so great, that I cannot go on. Therefore, if Jesus does not want it, neither do I want it. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and said to me, "My daughter, one who must possess the kingdom of my will, must not only do it and live in it, but she must feel and suffer that which my will feels and suffers within souls. What you feel is nothing other than the condition in which it finds itself in the creatures. With what hardship it flows. What efforts does it not have to make in order to subdue the creatures, so that they may do its will? Keeping it repressed within their own will, they take away from it the best of its life within them, which is its energy, its joy, its strength. So it is forced to act under the pressure of a human will, which is melancholic, weak and inconstant. Oh, in what a heavy, bitter, crushing nightmare the creatures keep my will. Do you not want, then, to take part in its pains? My daughter, you must be a key, and whatever sound my will wants to produce, you must be available to form the sound it wants to make. And when it has formed in you all the sounds it possesses, sounds of joy, of strength, of goodness, of sorrow, etc., its victory will be complete, having formed its kingdom in you. Therefore, think, rather, that this is a different and distinct sonata which it wants to play in you. It is one more key that it wants to add in your soul, because in the kingdom of the Supreme Fiat, it wants to find all the notes of the musical concert of the celestial fatherland, so that not even music may be missing in its kingdom.